This is HPR episode 2116 entitled, Duffer Gardening. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 12 minutes long. The summary is, prior to a Duffercast recording chore column, Insius and I had a conversation about gardening.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Now, how do we kick this off? Well, we're going to talk about some of our gardening experiences this summer.
I think you guys are proper gardeners, from what I gather, whereas I'm just a guy with a garden who looks at stuff growing in it.
Well, I have a fairly large garden, but not all of it is taken up with vegetables and stuff. And personally, I find that the most interesting thing is the vegetables and the fruit trees and stuff like that. And Mikhail, you used to have a very large garden, but now you have a smaller garden.
Yeah, well, not very large. It was about 2,000 square meter. But now I have just a small plot. I live in an apartment house, but there are like garden plots just 1 minute walk away from the house. So, about 4 by 4 meters.
Right. I deliberately bought this house with a back garden which is about the same size as the front garden, which is it's got a garage in the back, so it's sort of the length of a car and a bit more on the end of it. And it's just grass and there's enough room to dry your clothes in it. That's it. So that's the entirety of my gardening, I'm afraid.
Well, in our vegetable garden here, and I live in Hungary, so it's a fairly warm climate. We have two large raised beds at the bottom of the garden, and that's where most of the vegetables come from. That, and we have a small polytunnel, which is maybe 4 meters long, something like that. So a kind of an arch covered in polythene. And then we have some ground just that we grow various things, like we grow sorrel and rhubarb and stuff like that outside. So that's kind of what we would use for growing the vegetables. But the other side, we have a lot of fruit trees. So we have grass, and then we have peach trees and pears and different things.
And since I follow you both on GNU Social, I see pictures popping up every so often. You have some quite high cropping trees there. Have you seen peaches this year, for example?
Yeah, the peaches. Well, it varies from year to year. Mikhail can say what's happening in Sweden this year, what's done well, but different things vary. The peaches were not brilliant. We suffer. I don't particularly like spraying the trees. I will if I absolutely must. But I don't really like using pesticides or fungicides. But some things did well, but they were more like zucchini or courgettes, to be more accurate. They're still growing like weeds. What else is growing particularly well? We have quite a lot of apples. We will have a lot of pears, no doubt, because we always have a lot of pears. There's two large pear trees, so we'll end up with boxes and boxes of pears. Well, what's growing well this year in Sweden, Mikhail?
Well, it varies a lot in Sweden from north to south, and if it's on the coast. So I live not in the far south, but in the mid south. So it's not like well, on my plot, I have a black currant and some raspberries and some zucchini. I have just started harvesting the zucchini, so I don't think the total harvest will be quite small. And kale, the hipster plant, no. And broad beans, and let's see, lavender. It's not really edible as far as I know, but calendula, what do you call that in English? Flower, calendula?
Not sure, I'm afraid.
I don't know either. It's a common flower, garden flower. Let's see, garlic. I harvested some garlic today, which were quite small because I had to plant them in the spring. And the best with garlic is to plant them like in August and harvest them in August, at least around here. But the climate is colder than in Hungary, that's for sure. Depends on where you are. I mean, I even heard someone had a walnut tree somewhere in this town, but that's pretty rare up here.
Oh, you have a walnut tree. We have a walnut tree in the garden, and we also have a fig tree, which is a very interesting plant because it has an internal flower. I'm not really sure what, you know, Dave, you can tell us that, what's the proper way to describe that, but it's a very interesting thing. It just seems to be that the fruit grow from the junction. So yes. There's the difference between the far north and the warm south of Hungary.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, actually. Yes, I was brought up in Norfolk on the east coast of England, and it's a great agricultural area. But people never tried to grow things like that in the gardens. I mean, my dad was a keen gardener, but thought of growing figs I don't think you'd have ever tried that. Even things like garlic and zucchini were never really tried except in a greenhouse, you know, just out in the, I guess it's although it's a fair bit south from you, Mikkel, it's probably quite a cold area for a fair bit of the year. I don't really know. There's sort of local climate differences can make quite a big difference in what you can grow.
Yeah, they can make big differences. I have some tomatoes on my balcony too, but they are still small and green, so it's not the optimal. But my brother, who has like a small summer house in this town too, and a garden, he have grapes. So in the right spot, it can be quite enough for more warmer climate type of plants.
Yeah, that's quite surprising. Yeah. I visited Oslo in Norway 1 year and was amazed how hot it was in that part of Norway in the summer. I think it often is. So, you know, we in Britain tend to think that to get to that sort of latitude, it's cold all the time. It's certainly not true.
Yeah, and if you're in south of Sweden, in some areas it can be really the same garden climate as quite far up north along the coast. So it's the latitude is maybe an indication, but that's all.
Yeah, I noticed that another Mikkel in how do you pronounce it, Umeå, in the far, well, not far north, but the, you know, quite far north of Sweden, he had on his balcony a lot of tomato plants, and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, it's such a difference between how far along in Hungary and this chap in the north of Sweden, and how far along his plants are. Huge difference.
Yeah, it was must have been Umeå. Yeah, and if you have a balcony with facing south, and that makes a big difference too, I suppose. I don't know what he has, but he has to make an episode about gardening to reply to this episode.
Oh, very good. Yes, you definitely have the HPR mindset there. That's very impressive.
So I'm not sure what we'll do with a lot of the produce in the garden here. A little interesting fact is we end up with a lot of pears, so we'll end up with more pears than we can possibly use. So I'll give them away to some of my neighbors, no doubt. And in the previous years, they've made palinka, and palinka would be Schnaps, like in German, some kind of hard spirit. And that's quite legal, you know, for your own purposes, you can make that here in Hungary. So some of those pears will go to these other people and they'll make some distilled liquor out of it.
Wow, that's impressive. So do people have stills in the houses then?
They do, yeah, and it's legal. It's not illegal if it's for your own consumption. So you can do this. I personally don't really like it, but if you put honey in it, it's all right, but not particularly to my taste.
No, it's in the same sort of class as stuff. Is it Calvados that they make in France? That's an apple spirit, isn't it? And I think there's a pear one that's similar. I can't remember the name of it. Those are pretty good. They're quite sort of strong and a bit raw, I think. Never tried them personally.
Make your hair go curly.
Don't doubt it.
You said that about honey in that liquor. Do you mean you put it in when you drink it or when you're producing it?
No. When it's finished, it's the only kind of way that I would really like to drink it. I could perhaps think of it as like 2/3 alcohol and then 1/3 honey. And then my mother-in-law put in a number of prunes into it as well, into the bottom of the bottle, which was kind of unusual. And that was quite entertaining, really.
Sounds good. My late boss was famous for, he always went to France, to Brittany for his holidays, and he always came back with gallons of aquavit, which he used to make all manner of fruit infusions with. So if you ever got invited to his place for dinner, you always got served some fruit or other, some berries, you know, with this aquavit over the top. Very, very, very powerful stuff, but rather wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
So on the garden front, I have this tiny plot, but the back of my garden used to be a stream bed. When they built the houses in this estate, there was a sort of a little stream that ran along there. So they put a field drain where the stream bed was to make it look dry. But of course, that meant that the soil was like a clay, because, you know, it must have been there for hundreds of years, this little stream. So I planted turves on my back garden, make a nice lawn, and gradually it's been converting itself into a bog. So I have orchids growing in this back garden and rushes and all sorts of plants that you'd expect to find beside a river or in a sort of boggy land. So that's the extent of my gardening. I just let it grow a bit and it looks interesting. And my kids say, oh, wow, that's amazing, Dad. You should leave that alone. Don't cut that. And so I don't.
That's excellent. I'm sure you get some interesting insects as well.
Yeah, not as many as you do, but yes, it's definitely, it's full of frogs and mice and stuff, much to the delight of my cat.
When they start looking like triffids, you should be worried.
Yeah, I'm watching out for that. When that happens, there's going to be trouble.
Should we present ourselves?
I think we should think about stopping because we're coming up to the 9 o'clock.
Okay, that's good. That was interesting, guys. Thank you.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.